across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. 6:06 on this Friday morning, January 12th, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, or through our social media feeds, or on demand by podcast. Nice to have you along on this Friday. Once again, our first question off the top is, what do you got for snow so far? Because for the second time now in short order, we've got a snowstorm starting to work its way across Wisconsin. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will have details of what to expect today, and then the big plunge into the deep freeze coming up in just a little bit. Also coming up this morning, it appears that once again, talk by Wisconsin Republicans about legalizing marijuana with a, albeit limited proposal, well, even that appears to be ready to be shot down, as the Senate Republican leader says he's not on board with what the Assembly Republican leader is willing to get behind. We'll have details on that. We'll talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil about what's happening in these last, 3 days now until the Iowa caucuses. We'll also talk to Mark Jacob about the slow learners in America's newsrooms who show how little they have learned about covering the first major presidential candidate to demonstrate a willingness to upend American democracy and say, it's just another day, cover them just like any other candidate. And we'll talk to Dan Schumacher, our favorite Bears fan on the program, and that's saying something, but he's been a good sport about taking the L after the Packer game, and I'm sure he'll be nothing but roses and optimism about the Packers heading down to Dallas to play the Cowboys in the playoffs coming up this weekend, Sunday afternoon at 3:30, including on some stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'll tell you about that in a sec, but first, here's those temperatures around Civic Media land at 6:08. It's 12 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. It's down to zero in Hayward. Everybody else is in, the teens or more, so it tells me that not only has the snow not reached there yet, there are probably not even any clouds if they've cooled off that much. Park Falls at 13, Wausau 25, Green Bay 28, La Crosse 16, Wisconsin Rapids 25, Oshkosh 29, Madison 27 degrees right now, and it's 30 in Waukesha, where, again, in the Greg Bach chair, we have Luke Mathers, who is often described by Greg Bach as very handsome, very capable, a very wonderful boss.
Is that a direct
certainly
quote?
Certainly one generous with giving out his raises.
Is that a direct quote in my moniker there, or is that just you?
Right there, it says under your name, Luke Mathers, very handsome, quote by Greg Bach. So,
is that like when Michael Scott quotes Wayne Gretzky in quotes?
Something like that. Okay. Yeah, exactly. How are things down there? You starting to see snow?
Oh, yeah. Snow has gotten underway. So about 4 a.m. this morning, didn't have snow yet, but now through my commute in, we've got a number of flakes flying, Pat, and it's frosting the roads a little bit, so conditions are slick. You want to make sure that you're giving yourself a little ample extra time when you're on your morning commute this morning. I think the thick of it, though, is really going to be this afternoon, Pat, so it's going to be it's not going to let up throughout the day, so just be cautious wherever you go on the roads across the state of Wisconsin today.
It definitely, the radar has that look like, again, basically it's Highway 10 or Highway 29, depending on how much of this stuff is hitting the ground at the northern end of the snow, but everybody below that, some of those, you know, on the radar, the light blue bands of snow are becoming darker blue, and, you know, the maps I saw that were predicting, you know, a foot of snow in many parts of, you know, southeastern Wisconsin, today could be a character builder, you know, as Uncle Bobby used to say on WGN back in the day. So drive very carefully if you have to drive at all, and really consider not. I mean, even last night, my wife was preparing for their annual sisters weekend, which is not to say that she's a nun, but that she has these siblings that they get together at least once during the winter, and they'll usually go to somebody's house and just kick back and relax. And the four of them, we're going to be gathering later today in one of the Twin City suburbs. One sister was coming out here to pick up Sherry, you know, spend the night, and then they'd leave in the morning. They saw that forecast and were like, we're going to go now. So they did. They took off late last night after one came all the way up from southeast Wisconsin. And then I don't know when they got there, but they were smart enough to get ahead of all of this. And you, Luke, I'm a little worried about now. You may be there for a while.
I'm fine. There's no rush for me to get home, so I'm gonna take it easy. I got no place to be and all day to get there.
Mrs. Mathers on the line over here. See what she has.
She's
to say
enjoying
about
a snow day already. So she was a little something woke her up as I was waking up. So she wasn't too thrilled this morning, but she'll be all right. She's got the day to rest.
Okay. All right. That's good. For folks wondering, Greg Bach will be back Tuesday, right?
As long as the planes can land in the cold weather that's coming. Yes. Greg Bach is scheduled to be back on Tuesday morning with you.
And cussing the cold, without a doubt, based on the way it's sounding. Like, we're going to be in the deep freeze for a little bit here. But, you know, again, we can get through. This is, you know why? Because there's lots of good radio to listen to. I mentioned it yesterday. I'm going to say again, there's a very cool episode of Max Inc. Radio coming up tomorrow, Saturday night at 9 o'clock, featuring Blame It on Kane, an all-original rock band from Milwaukee. And I don't see you waving your hand or shaking your head, so it tells me that the show is still on.
As far as I'm aware, I believe those fine folks at Max Inc. are going to be in the Madison studios at 6 p.m., hopefully. Traveling safely in there tomorrow, but it should be an excellent edition of Max Inc. This weekend with that live performance at 9 p.m.
All right, so there you go. Give it a listen to that. I will say that when I think about that, you know, all the snowstorm hitting the Madison area there, I did have like one, you know, genuine snow day as a state legislator where like it started coming down so hard in the early afternoon that, you know, they just sent everybody home, you know, in the Capitol so that everybody could get back home. And those of us who are out of town legislators, we just had nothing else to do. So we're just trouncing through the snow and, you know, snowball fights.
I was going to say, was there a snowball fight? All right.
There might have been some snowball fight. And you're walking down the middle of the street because where the ruts are from the few cars out, that's the only way you could get any traction. As we checked out, we might have checked out some of the local watering holes.
Okay.
And I'm sure those poor bartenders were like, go home. I want to go home too.
I have a family, Pat. Let me go home in the snowstorm. Yeah, I can picture that.
Yeah. So Luke is here in for Greg, and as often happens, we slip into sports mode a little bit early, but that's because it's also a lot going on here. We've got the Packer game against the Cowboys in Dallas Sunday at 3:30. Coverage starts at, I don't have my note in front of me, is it 1 or 1:30 on several Civic Media radio stations?
Coverage starts at 1, yep, and then kickoff set for 3:30.
And you can catch the Packers-Cowboys game on Radio from the Center, WRCO in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, AM and FM, 98Q Country up in Park Falls, all carrying that game. And I'm just going to say the same thing that I, you know, heading into this playoff game that I said all season. I'm not setting any kind of lofty expectations. This is the youngest team ever to be in the playoffs, ever. Dallas has not lost a game at home in over a year. I'm not being, you know, negative about it. I'm not predicting a loss. I'm just saying this is a treat because, frankly, the whole postseason would be, even if you beat the Cowboys, next you go to San Francisco, right, to take on, because they got the bye this week, right? They're the number one
team.
The
Packers are the lowest seed, so if the Packers win.
And they're the lowest
win,
seed, so yeah, if the Packers win, it's definite that they go to San Francisco next. And I've been to San Francisco for a Packer playoff game, and that I know how bad and how ugly and how sad that can be.
Pat, it kind of feels like, to me, the best analogy for this playoff run that the Packers are going to get to go on right now, because this wasn't a guaranteed thing. This wasn't like seasons past where it's like almost expected that the Packers go to the playoffs.
Yes.
This is Jordan Love's first season as a starter. And so I kind of see it as You know, when you're walking through the casino and you find like a $100 bill on the ground.
I was just going to say they're playing with house money. They really are.
It's all house money right now. So just I'm hoping for the best. I'm not expecting a win like you, but I think
I did not say I was expecting a win.
No, I'm saying like you, I'm also not expecting a win. I'm very reserved on the fact that Dallas, as you've noted, has not lost at home this year. Like that's a pretty big
deal. And I'm hoping that kind of hubris. I'm hoping Mike McCarthy chokes because he has. He has a terrible playoff record. He has a terrible record of choking in some big games with the Cowboys. So there's definitely
you can
no
say
way
the
you
Packers
could guarantee
too,
the Cowboys win.
He's,
yeah, I know.
He had some hard times with the Packers.
Yes, I know, which is what gives me confidence about Sunday. So I'm feeling very, loose about this, meaning I would love, I hope the team does too. I hope they're loose, they're young, they're like, let's just go out and kick their butt. And that would be great. So again, you'll catch that on some of these civic media stations, along with all the local high school sports playing all across the civic media radio network. Then there's the NBA. Well, the Bucks busted out the whooping stick here against the NBA leading Boston Celtics, 135 to 102, and a 33-point margin of victory. Sounds about right. It was basically a margin like that from just before halftime on, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it was.
But it was
the first quarter. The Bucks put up 40 in the first quarter, and I think Boston.
Really?
Yeah, Boston only had 23. So like there was already a seven. There was almost a 20-point. Margin built in by the first quarter, and I don't think it ever got closer than that again. It was wild.
I don't have the other NBA scores in front of me, but I just recall watching one of the early national news programs. I mean, one of the margins was 62 points last night.
Yep.
It was a night of routes in the NBA. It's almost like they all just said, okay, this is the one game if you're going to slow down. But I don't think it's that. I think Boston just genuinely got beat.
It was the second night of a back-to-back for Boston. So it was the Bucks had 2 days off. Boston was playing its second game in 2 days. But the big thing was that everybody got mad online because TNT left the broadcast.
They
cut
away
quarter.
They couldn't go to any other game that was any more competitive.
But it was
love that.
It was the TNT broadcast was the only way to watch the Bucks because there was nothing.
Yes.
And so everybody was freaking out. And then by 2 minutes, 3 minutes of that, TNT was like, "We'll bring you back for the fourth quarter," even though you could tell the broadcasters did not want to be.
No, it just was one of those days. Not good to be a sports TV programmer. The Bucks do play tomorrow. They host the Golden State Warriors at Five Serve Forum. The Brewers are in the news. We'll have a little note about contract signings next. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this snowy Friday, when you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit. A little Blue Oyster Cult for us for today. Oh, I think I know why. I know why. Did I guess it right? I guessed it right. In today's history lesson, you were going to hear among all the many days that it is today, and I've got to scroll up my screen to go get them. It's National Kiss a Ginger Day. It's National Pharmacist Day. National Curried Chicken Day. National Marzipan Day. And then I said correctly that it's National Kettlebell Day, like the weights that you lift as part of your New Year's resolutions, the kettlebell.
Oh, I missed that. I heard cowbell. There's
cowbell.
Some snow flurries in my ears. I apologize.
Clearly, you've got a fever. Yeah. The Milwaukee Brewers reached deals with 2021 National League Cy Young Award winner Corbin Burnes and two-time All-Star closer Devin Williams and shortstop Willy Adames to avoid going to arbitration. So we got some signings in the news. I mean, I think a lot of people assumed Corbin Burnes was going to be gone, but he agreed to a one-year contract for $15.6 million. Adames will get one for $12.25 million, and then Devin Williams will get $7.25 million, which is pretty much what he asked for. The Brewers also signed right-handed pitchers Yoel Piamps, Bryce Wilson, and first baseman Jake Bowers. So Luke, things don't sound as dire as they did when the regular season ended in terms of losing some marquee players.
Yeah, the core talent and the pitching staff there. I mean, it's going to be a weird season not to see Brandon Woodruff in a Brewers uniform, which is most likely the case. Like, there's still a chance he could come back, but he's a free agent. I don't think he's coming back. It's going to be weird to see some of those changes from the, I mean, Craig Counsell going to be in a Cubs jersey. Like, that's still strange. Ugh. But having these core pieces and not having to go to arbitration with these players that are going to be core pieces for the lineup throughout the 2024 season, that's exciting news. And I think it's a warming feeling to think that, you know, pitchers and catchers are going to report in like 6 weeks.
It's coming up.
It's coming up fast. So it's already, we can look past these snow flurries that we're having today and be like, baseball's right around the corner.
It really is. I mean, look, we'll focus on the Packers as long as we can. Of course, the Bucks will continue their run. But what do we always say? We're one day closer to spring, you know, despite all of this. So we're getting there. Opening day before too long. Let's unpack some of the other news at 6:23 on this Friday morning, January 10th. Well, they're RIP, the GOP medical marijuana plan, apparently. It was just a couple of days ago that Assembly Republicans unveiled a bill with the message that more or less said, hey, Wisconsin, we hear you. We know that Wisconsin is an island of total prohibition on legalized marijuana while every state around us has legalized it to an extent. We hear you, Wisconsin. So here's a bill that would be about the most restrictive in the country. And we Republicans, the party of small government, are going to allow it, but only in government-run dispensaries. And none of this marijuana can be smoked, and it can only be medical marijuana, and we'll leave it to some poor doctors to decide who qualifies or not. But it's a very restrictive bill, but we hear you, said Assembly Republicans, who apparently did not talk to Senate Republicans, because the Senate Republican leader, Devin Lemieux, said at a WISP Politics event that that bill is a non-starter in the Senate, which tells you one of two things, or both. It tells you that either once again, Assembly Republicans and Senate Republicans cannot get on the same page, which is a little bit odd, not terribly odd, but a little bit odd, or they were never serious about this. That because this is not the first, the second, the third, the fourth time that Republicans have indicated a willingness to legalize marijuana if the right bill came along. And it just always stays in the talking stage and never goes anywhere. And this was, like I said, a rather unusual bill, including unusual for Republicans that, you know, it would be essentially a big government bill, government, you know, doing the selling. Imagine, you know, other places have state-run, you know, liquor stores and things. That seems rather antithetical to, you know, Republican philosophy. So the whole thing seemed odd. And now we see it probably doesn't have a prayer based on what the Senate Republican leader said. And like I said, it's rare but not impossible. I will say, as a former member of the state Senate Democrats, there were times when the Assembly Democrats would say or propose something, and we'd be like, you could have asked us first, and we would have told you how you don't have the votes for that over here in the Senate. You know, again, it doesn't happen on a lot of things. There's plenty that happens behind the scenes in a legislature or in Congress, but turf battles are not restricted to parties. You know, between Democrats and Republicans, sometimes the Democrats or the Republicans themselves, when you split them between the Assembly and the Senate or in Congress, the House and the Senate, if you don't have those lines of communication open, you're not going to get the things done that you think you're going to get done. And that's where things have been left at this point. The Wisconsin Supreme Court on Thursday refused to reconsider its ruling that ordered the drawing of new maps for the state legislature. You may recall that on late Friday afternoon, December 22nd, the court put out its 4-3 ruling that the current legislative maps drawn by Republicans are unconstitutional and must be redone in time for November elections later this year. And so things have to be on a rather quick and tight timeline to get these maps ready by mid-March so that they can be used for planning and campaigning this November. Republicans had the option to say, okay, the court wants us to have some ideas, some proposed maps submitted by today, Friday the 12th. They didn't do that. Instead, they filed a motion with the court saying, we'd like you to reconsider what you just ruled, and here's why. And so the court had to take some time this week and then put out its ruling yesterday saying, we respectfully will not reconsider our ruling. And so here we are back at today's deadline for parties in the lawsuit to submit new maps. And when I say parties, I should say participants in the lawsuit, because it's not just the Democratic and Republican parties, but there are other entities involved in this as well. And then consultants hired by the state Supreme Court will review the submissions. They will issue their own report. They may or may not issue their own maps by February 1st in order to get these maps in place by March 15th. What we haven't seen just yet is whether Republicans will run to the U.S. Supreme Court and also try to slow down the process of getting these new maps in place. But for right now, the main element involved is getting these proposals for new maps and what will they look like. And so we'll see what gets turned in today. Some folks are set to do, you know, real-time analysis of it and give us a feel of whether you, the voter, will finally be able to choose your representatives in the legislature instead of the representatives choosing their voters. All right, let's turn to a more national lens in terms of this week's news, and we will visit with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil with the Iowa caucuses just 3 days away now. We'll talk to Kia in just a bit. You're up north. Back on this Friday morning, and Kia Vakil is with us, senior national correspondent for Courier Newsroom out in Los Angeles. Kia, how you doing?
Not too bad, Pat. How about yourself?
I'm all right as we head into, the official part of the campaign calendar. I mean, presidential campaigns are basically four-year affairs now, but, you know, people will finally start doing something official. And of course, we're talking about the Iowa caucuses and, you know, the Republicans who have been trying to be the alternative to Donald Trump. It doesn't look like we're going to see any big surprises on Monday, are we?
No. Barring an act of God, Trump will win the Iowa caucus quite handily. There hasn't been any polling that shows it even remotely competitive. The only real question is who's going to come in second, and does Ron DeSantis drop out if he comes in third or fourth? Mm-hmm. We've spent a year now of this primary campaign basically watching Trump lead it from the beginning all the way through to now. And so there's very little mystery. New Hampshire is the only state with even showing some potential for Trump not winning it. But Iowa's pretty much, you know, in his, it's, he's got it.
And the news this week of former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie dropping out certainly does not appear to have played any kind of role in the overall support of Republicans.
No. So Christie, you know, he was polling in the high single digits, in most polls. Pretty clearly, it seems like he dropped out to give Nikki Haley a shot to win support in New Hampshire. Because a lot of the people, there's been surveys showing that a lot of Christie's supporters in the Granite State, their second choice was Nikki Haley. So, and she, there have been polls showing her within striking distance of Trump, you know, high single digits in New Hampshire, others showing her down, you know, 20 points. So, but common logic dictates that Christie has dropped out because he was never going to win. He was always the person in the race who was going to you know, actually tell the truth about Trump. But, you know, at this point, you know, it seems like he made the calculation that dropping out and giving Haley a chance to win one state was worth it.
I guess, but I mean, he was caught on a hot mic saying that, you know, yeah. Nikki Haley was going to get smoked. And so I don't understand, unless you're, you know, for financial reasons or whatever, why you wouldn't want to be basically the official skunk at the garden party, because Nikki Haley's not out there actually no. trying to put herself out as the alternative to Trump. I mean, sometimes she no. kind of says it in so many words, but she's rehearsing. She's auditioning. Is. You know,
and yes, Christie was caught on a hot mic saying Nikki Haley will get smoked. I also think she will get smoked. I have to assume Chris Christie wants to stay in the good graces of the handful of anti-Trump Republican donors who were funding him and funding Nikki Haley. And my instinct is that this was something he's doing to, you know, draw favor with them. I could be wrong. That's just an opinion, but, you know, I don't think Nikki Haley has a shot at winning this.
Right. And really, if anything, she will probably win the contest of last non-Trumper standing. I can't imagine, again, barring a big surprise, Ron DeSantis lasts much longer than New Hampshire, because what is there? It's like a 1 month wait until South Carolina. And I mean, if you don't have that much money to burn, that's my not so informed prediction, is that I don't know how DeSantis lasts beyond Iowa and New Hampshire either.
I don't know that he does. I mean, his political standing has already taken just one blow after another over the past year. You know, he entered as like the Republican Party's future wonder kid, and now he is limping back to Florida, losing endorsements to Vivek Ramaswamy in Iowa. Like, he is the only real takeaway from this primary, other than, you know, Trump has a complete hold on the party, is that Nikki Haley has improved her odds at 2028 for 2028, and DeSantis may never win another election.
No, right. And look at Scott Walker. You know, yep. I mean, Florida basically has their own Scott Walker now in Ron DeSantis, who started off as some bright, shiny object until you realized he actually wasn't that shiny. It was kind of dull. Trump, meanwhile, I mean, he has been quote unquote campaigning in between court dates. And I think that there are a couple of things that stood out. In fact, I'm going to pick on three different things. The sure. first, that he basically admitted at a town for a cable TV forum, he admits to taking foreign money, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is exactly why they're trying to go after Hunter Biden, who is not a president and who's not running for president, for taking foreign money. Meanwhile, there's Donald Trump right there saying, yeah, I did. So what?
Yeah. I mean, he knows that he can pretty much say almost anything and still, you know, get the votes he needs. I don't know that there's anything he could say to lose his stranglehold over the party. I think he could well be the nominee until he terms out or he dies. And, you know, yeah, obviously, no, presidents should not take money from foreign governments. That's not a thing that should be happening. And that he's, you know, some people call it Teflon Don. It's unbelievable, frankly. If this were happening to a Democratic president, it's, you know, there's all sorts of made up scandals over Hunter Biden, who's not a president, like you said, we would never hear the end of it if this was, you know, Barack Obama or Joe Biden, if they were implicated in something like that. But for Trump, it's, you know, a dime a dozen scandal.
And again, Jimmy Carter had to put his peanut farm in a yep. blind trust when he was elected president, because that's what you do when you have any kind of shred of decency and honor and don't want to look like, you know, you have a conflict of interest with foreign governments. But anyway, that was just one of the things. The other, Trump saying, and again, his choice of words, he was yep. proud, his word, to terminate, his word, women's health care rights when it came to the Dobbs decision.
Yeah. And, you know, that is not the first time he has made a comment like that. I went back and looked this morning, and he has said some version of that four different times on video in interviews this year, or in the last 7 or 8 months, and countless times on Truth Social. But he never quite made it as explicit as he did on Wednesday night. He said he was proud. There are women who are dying. There are women who are being forced to give birth. There are women who want to have kids but have horrible pregnancy complications and have to flee states like Texas to get care so they don't die or, you know, develop serious issues. And that's all because Trump appointed three far-right justices who repealed Roe v. Wade. If he wants to run on that, you know, he can run on that. I don't know how that's going to work in a general election.
I think we all know how it's going to run in a general election. And again, but if he doesn't win, he's not going to blame that. He's not going to blame his extreme position. He's going to say, you know, it was rigged. It was stolen. You know, whatever else he can use to justify the types of 2020 actions that he would most definitely take again. And then there was one more thing from Trump, and this was more from his attorney. But again, you know, this is Trump's line of thinking in one of his many court cases. This one where an appeals court justice says in so many words, you're claiming immense presidential immunity powers, the likes of which you're saying you could get SEAL Team 6 to assassinate one of your political opponents here in the United States, and you can't be charged with a crime. And the Trump attorney kind of tap dances and says, well, yeah, unless you got impeached first, there can't be anybody that even thought to give a response like that before this week, right?
I have no idea. There's the things that get said to defend his actions are just increasingly
bizarre,
out of the realm of anything I would have ever thought. You know, and the prosecutor there in that hearing pointed out, you know, that essentially means Trump or any other president could have SEAL Team 6 kill an opponent, resign from office, and not face charges if you follow that logic, because he wasn't impeached and convicted.
Right.
That is basically state-sanctioned murder from the most powerful person in the country. This is the sort of thing why people say democracy is on the line in 2024.
Right.
Because if this is what they're talking about, if they're releasing a 1,000-page plan to overhaul the government, which they have done, and the way this country functions, you know, we are on a very slippery slope to just completely unthinkable things if Trump wins.
We had, you know, the shining city on the hill, as Ronald Reagan had put it, and we have come so far closer and closer to banana republic that it is just stunning. At the state level of news, I just wanted to throw a note out that Cardinal and Pine is one of the Courier Newsroom outlets, this one in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And we haven't mentioned it for a while, but North Carolina was the most recent state where Republicans saw the light and understood that they could cover more people and save money if they expanded their Medicaid program. And this week, North Carolina has the fortunate problem of saying, okay, how do we spend the bonus that we're getting as a result of this?
Yeah. So as part of the American Rescue Plan, which was one of the first laws Biden signed in 2021 when he took office, it was a COVID relief package, but it also was designed to incentivize the holdout states like North Carolina, like Wisconsin, like Florida, to expand Medicaid by basically giving them a bucket load of federal money if they did it. North Carolina did it. So they're getting $1.7 billion over the next 2 years. And that's being spent in a whole bunch of ways. They're spending $350 million to colleges, universities, and nursing schools to improve their programs and improve facilities. They're building three new rural healthcare centers, mobile crisis teams. Kids with behavioral health issues are getting extra support, as are their families. There's going to be all sorts of community college improvements and hospital improvements. Rural hospitals are getting some help. It's $1.7 billion is impossible to conceptualize, obviously, for me or you. But for a state of several million people, a lot of whom live in rural communities, it's one of the most rural states in the country, that bonus is going to make a huge difference. And Wisconsin could have had it. They would have had probably a slightly different number, but they could have gotten a proportional amount if not for the legislator refusing to expand Medicaid. And this is all on top of the 600,000 North Carolinians who are now eligible for, you know, low or no cost insurance so they can go get checkups and get prescriptions and get tests or scans when they're sick. it will save lives. It'll save jobs. It'll save rural communities, hospitals. It's a life or death thing. And, you know, it's a huge deal.
And unfortunately, the Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature will not be motivated by $1 billion, considering they sat on a $7 billion state budget surplus for this long. I think here the only way they would go along with the extra federal funds is if it were earmarked and could only be used to cut taxes in the highest tax brackets. I think that might be the only way this legislature, you know, is incentivized to take care of its own and, you know, increase healthcare security. I shouldn't have said that out loud. That's probably going to be the next platform from House Republicans.
That or to, you know, privatize every single school in Wisconsin or somehow stick it to Milwaukee. So
yes. Yeah. See, you get it. You get the whole trinity of Republican positions here in Wisconsin. Kia Vakil, senior political correspondent for Courier Newsroom. Thanks, Kia, so much. Have a great start to the weekend.
You too. Thanks, Pat.
Oh, but hey, it's not just Medicaid. It's feeding hungry children. The New York Times this morning notes that there's going to be a new program that helps provide low-income families with funds to purchase food, especially during the summer months when kids can't get free or reduced-priced lunches. Hunger is on the rise again in poor American families. In 35 of the states, including 12 with Republican governors, they've said, yes, we would like to sign on to this program. But in 15 states, all with Republican governors, they have rejected the new federal food assistance program. And that literally is taking food out of the mouths of 8 million children in 15 states. Because, again, like I just said, unless that federal money is going to cut taxes for billionaires, it's kind of a non-starter with the Republicans in these states who have a real issue with feeding hungry children. Today's history lesson and some musical milestones coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
Some people call me the space cowboy, yeah. Some call me the gangster of love.
This is Steve Miller.
Some people call me Maurice.
No, it's Steve Miller.
'Cause I speak of the pompous of love.
This was the number one song 50 years ago today, this day in 1974. And to this day, we're still wondering what exactly is the pompatus of love.
It's made up.
I see Luke is furiously Googling, looking for any kind of a definition, but no, you won't find one there.
No, you won't.
So
I know
Steve Miller had the number one song on this day in 1974. We also have the number one album 50 years ago today on this day in 1974, and it came from Jim Croce.
Uptown got its hustlers, the Bowery got its bumps.
Title track off You Don't Mess Around With Jim, number one album this day in 1974. And then, again, purely out of coincidence, one more thing to tell you about January 12th, 1974. It was a baby girl born that day named Melanie Chisholm, and she would later be known as Mel C, or Sporty Spice of the Spice Girls. Born this day. She is 50 years old today, Sporty Spice, born in Whiston, England. On this day, 55 years ago, in 1969, Super Bowl III. The New York Jets, to say they were an underdog was putting it mildly, but they managed to defeat the Baltimore Colts in one of the greatest upsets in sports history and made Jets quarterback Joe Namath an instant celebrity. And it is the last time the New York Jets have been any good. Did you see... Luke,
so
you saw that
mean.
Bill, you saw, it's funny because it's true. Did you see Bill Belichick, of course, parted ways with the New England Patriots yesterday. The I think it was, I don't remember if it was the New York Post or the Daily News, but somebody held up the sports section, the back page, and instead of good riddance, the headline is hood riddance. And the headline all about how Bill Belichick won't be around to torment the New York Jets anymore.
Yeah, the New NBC affiliate in New York City likes to, every time they talk about the Patriots, they like to remind the fact that the Giants beat them twice in the Super Bowl. So it was the headline that I saw was pretty funny, because it was like Bill Belichick, who had a historic career but lost to the New York Giants twice in the Super Bowl, leaving the New England Patriots. And it's like,
I like that. It's commitment. That's
yeah.
It.
It's they definitely know how to talk about any news that comes out of the New England's.
Know your audience.
Yeah.
Know your audience of Giants fans. That's outstanding. Can you imagine? I know nothing about the Jets situation there, but of course Aaron Rodgers was out for the year. Allegedly is going to be coming back. And by the way, how do you like his being dumped by the Pat McAfee show? For one day.
Yeah, I was going to say, one right
day
away
and he's back.
Back.
I mean, it's just like a bad penny. Can't get rid of him. I'm just thinking, what if Belichick actually went to the Jets? Can you see Belichick coaching Aaron Rodgers? The answer is no, of course. No, you couldn't possibly see that. But who knows where Belichick ends up. On this day in 1977, Long May You Run, this album by Stephen Stills and Neil Young, was certified gold. If you are familiar with the Canadian-based restaurant chain Tim Hortons, Tim Horton was an actual person. He was a Canadian hockey player turned businessman. He founded Tim Hortons. He was born this day in 1930, passed away in 1974, so at the age of 43, 44 years old, but his restaurant chain lives on. On this day in 1999, a Disney Channel child star, Britney Spears, released her first album. It did pretty well. And people asked from that moment on, is she going to do that with her voice every time?
Yeah. Ride out like this, baby.
You're not a fan, Pat?
No, I she's fine. That girl's been through so much. I just wish her the best. That's all. Child stars, when the few that come out normal, you're so happy, because then you see a Britney Spears and go, oh, what your family did to you. But she sold a lot of records, and that autobiography did pretty well too. So, I mean, she'll be all right. This one's kind of depressing. Birthday today. You're familiar with Jeff Bezos?
You
know,
I am.
The guy that started Amazon and now owns most of planet Earth. He was born 60 years ago today. He is just today turning 60. Which makes him just a few months older than me, because I'm staring down 60 right now. And I am not a multi billionaire. So I'm not sure where our paths separated. We had such potential together. Jeff Bezos made the money and I did not.
It's the fact that your parents didn't have a $100,000 loan to give you. Maybe that's where the difference was.
That could have been.
It could have been it.
And speaking of loans done good, it was on this day in 1959 that Berry Gordy started a record company with $800 that he borrowed from his family. So he borrowed $800, started a record company. He gave it the name Tamla Record Company. He later changed it to Motown. The Motown Record Company has done pretty good for borrowing $800 and putting that up, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's money well invested right there.
I think so. We mentioned before on the national calendar today, National Kiss a Ginger Day, which again is kind of like the national hug thing the other day. I'm not sure these national hugging, kissing things are, we're living in a different world now. So
well, yeah, just if you know, like, I don't know how to even go about that. Like, that's a
well,
Don't do that.
The word is consent,
yes,
kids.
Yes.
Don't use the day as like some excuse to be a jerk and go, oh, it's National Kiss a Ginger Day. I get to do that. No, you don't. Not without consent. It's National Pharmacist Day, curried chicken. Are you like me, or do you like it, or are you
wait,
like
is that one
me
or two
and
days?
Others?
Is that
curried chicken?
National Pharmacist curried chicken? Like you have to have the pharmacist make the curried
no,
chicken?
No. Oh, okay. Nope. Separate
two
things.
Separate things.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Curried chicken. It's one of those things where I took one bite and I'm like, I like spicy food, but that's
oh,
too much
I
for
love,
me.
I love curry.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. I'll eat right. some curry chicken.
Marzipan Day, which is a very unusual kind of treat. I don't even have the ingredient list here with me. And Kettlebell Day. Not Cowbell Day.
Not Cowbell.
Kettlebell.
My bad.
But that's okay. There's plenty of other songs we could have played. Honky Tonk Woman. We're an American Band. You know, not just Don't Fear the Reaper. Low Rider by War. It's a lot of good Cowbell song. Now you've got me doing it. This is just great. We're live from Chippewa Falls all across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Up North News Radio. Second hour just ahead.
You're the cutest thing I ever did see. Really love your peaches.